Last week's message, I looked at a question: how did you do? And it was looking at kind of a sermon that I preached a year ago, and then kind of re-preached it again this year, and it was looking at sins that we know we're to turn away from. We were looking at giving God our whole selves and turning away from the things that keep us from all that God has for us. It is seeking to live the transformed life that comes from and through Jesus Christ. And if you weren't here, it would be a good message to listen to on our podcast. You can find the link on our website and our bulletin there. But today I will be returning to my sermon series that I kind of stopped a few weeks ago with Christmas, and it's on the fruitful life. And let's look at our passage that we're going through as we look through the fruit of the Spirit. So I'll be looking at Galatians 5, verses 22 through 23. Galatians 5, 22 through 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. And today we'll be looking at the spiritual fruit of goodness. But before I get there, I want to remind all of you that though these fruits are enjoyable to us, some maybe a little more than others, The reality is that the spiritual fruit that we produce through the Holy Spirit is more enjoyed and seen by others. The fruit is produced by the work of the Holy Spirit, and that comes from a transformation that is taking place inside our hearts that comes out as fruit. Fruit comes out because of the Lord that's in us and working in us. Now, goodness is an interesting fruit. Similar to kindness, but yet different. I know I've said this before, but many times, many of these fruits, they're similar in different ways, and they kind of overlap in different areas. But if someone were to say, my doctor is a good doctor, well, what's the meaning of the good? Is it that the doctor has a good grasp of the human body in the medical field? Or is it more? Or something else? Maybe it's that they're good listeners and they take time to spend with you in their office. And they treat not just your physical needs, but maybe they're treating emotional and maybe even spiritual as well. Maybe it's all or none of that. What makes a good doctor? So if someone is looking for a good auto mechanic, what's the definition of a good mechanic? Is it that they have a great knowledge of automobiles and have a superior knack for finding and fixing problems on cars? Oh, Ed isn't here, so that's why I put this in here. But this is kind of funny. One day I was at his house for some other reason, not for cars, but I turned on my truck and I put it in reverse, and he's like waving at me. He said, did you hear that? My car started. It made a little noise that I didn't hear. He goes, well, that noise means your U-joint's going out. Well, number one, what's a U-joint? Number two, I didn't hear anything different. But sure enough, you know, does that make a good auto mechanic? Someone that can just has an ear or has an eye or has an understanding? Does that make a good mechanic? Or are mechanics good because they have integrity and will not charge you to fix a problem that really isn't a problem? Or is it both or entirely something else? So what I'm getting at with those two questions on doctor and mechanic, when we think of goodness, what is it? Out of all the fruits of the Spirit, I would say that this is one of those fruits that seems to be the vaguest to me because there's so much ambiguity, and I'm using a bunch of words there, but we often see good, but that good is in the eye of the beholder. What I think is good may not be exactly be your experience of good. So many of you might think mushrooms are good to eat. You might think mushrooms are good to eat. Yet for me, mushrooms are far from good. Some of you might think I'm a good person. Yet there may be some people that would think otherwise, based on their experience or their perception of me. So then when we ask the question, what is good? How do we know what's good? Because if I rely on what I think is good, is that really good? Is there anything that is good all of the time under any circumstance? When I was younger, on occasion, in our church, the pastor would say a phrase and the congregation would reply. So the pastor would say, God is good, and the congregation would say, all the time. And then the pastor would say, all the time, God is good. So, hey, I know some of you already have heard it. So, God is good. And all the time? Do you believe it? Psalm 105. For the Lord is good, and His love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. I spoke on this particular phrase from a different psalm in my kindness message. I actually looked at Psalm 136, but this phrase tends to show itself in multiple different areas of Scripture. But remember, when I talked about this, we were looking at love. We were looking at that word, love endures forever, and we saw loving kindness endures forever. But this is also telling us that the Lord is good. And He is good forever. All generations. So that is the answer to my question when I ask if there is anything good all of the time under any circumstance. And the answer is yes, it is the Lord. The Lord is good no matter what. Doesn't matter my perception, doesn't matter your perception, the atheist down the road, doesn't matter their perception, the one that may be worshiping another different God, it doesn't matter their perception. The Lord is good all of the time. I'd like to kind of head back in Scripture a little bit, going to Genesis. If you want to open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, I think many of you know that off the top of your head, but I'm going to actually walk through a few Genesis passages. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. God created everything. Many of us know that. So we move on in the creation story in verses 3 through 4, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. God saw that the light was good. And He separated the light from darkness. Let's move ahead a little more, going to verse 9 through 10. And God said, let there be water under the sky that gathered to one place, and let dry ground appear. And it was so. God called the dry ground land, and the gathered waters He called seas. And God saw that it was good. Let's go on to verse 11 through 12. Then God said, let the land produce vegetation, seeing seed-bearing plants and trees on the land that bear fruit with a seed in it, according to their various kinds. And it was so. The land produced vegetation, plants bearing seed according to their kinds, and trees bearing fruit with seed in it according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. Yes. Let's go on a little further. We got more. God set them in the expanse of the sky to give light on the earth and to govern the day and the night. This is talking about the sun and the moon. And to separate light from darkness. And God saw that it was good. Verse 21. So God created the great creatures of the sea and every living and moving thing with which the water teems according to their kinds, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. Verse 25, God made the wild animals according to their kinds, the livestock according to their kinds, and all the creatures that move along the ground according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. Verse 31. Right before verse 31, we see that God created man and woman in His image. And then in verse 31, He says this, God saw all that He had made, and it was very good. We see that there is a pattern that has happened even in the creation. What comes from God, what He creates, what He brings into being is good. What is from God is good. It was when Adam and Eve ate the forbidden fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil that sin and evil began to twist what was good into evil, or what was good into bad. It's a product of sin. Adam and Eve would not just know good and evil. So when we read about the story that Adam and Eve ate from that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you see, they didn't just mentally know the difference between good and evil. They experienced both. They have experienced the goodness of God, but they also experienced the disobedience, the shame. They experienced sin. And today, sin and evil has twisted its way into many things. Things that God created and they were made good has been corrupted by sin. So many things that we can look at today. Just, you know, one of the things that comes to mind, being married. You know, they talked about it in Sunday school today. It was a good thing. God created man and woman and they were married. It was very good too. And now today, you see, because of sin, marriages get hurt, spouses get hurt, abuse happens. So what was good, marriage is still good, but it's corrupted. It's corrupted. We live in a world that we know is good and evil. And unfortunately, our experience includes many good things of God, but also many evil things, fallen things of this world. And what I like about what God has done is there's still a lot of good things that he shares in this world, that it doesn't matter if people are sinful or even evil in themselves. We see that God still blesses different things. Matthew 5:45, here's what I'm getting at. He, that's being God, causes His Son to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. You see, we still live in a world that's created by God. We're still created in the image of God. But because of sin, the goodness that was there before the fall has been twisted and corrupted. And we saw that at the beginning, when we were looking at Genesis, that last declaration, after looking at everything God had created, He pronounced that it was very good. We see that move from that point to Psalm 14, verse 2, where God declares something else. And it's the product of sin. The Lord looks down from heaven on the sons of men to see if there are any who understand, any who seek God. All have turned aside. They have together become corrupt. There is no one who does good, not even one. That's a powerful statement. in light of God's ultimate goodness, there isn't one who does good. Not even one. That is how bad things got because of sin. We want to see goodness in our own eyes, though. I want to say, well, I'm better than this person down there. I'm better than that person over there. I'm definitely better than Charles Manson. Yet the bigger question is, am I as good as God? Not quite. Based on my own abilities. As good as I want to be is not even remotely close to God's goodness. So asking that question, am I as good as God? Well, no, absolutely not. Why would I even ask that? But God is the standard of good. God is the standard of good. He is good all of the time in any circumstance. Doesn't matter. God is good. I don't come close to His standard. Goodness must be measured by God's goodness, otherwise we will only see goodness in our own corrupt or twisted version of what appeals to our human perspective. Even though there is none that is good, we're not hopeless. See, we can receive God's goodness in a special way. You see, I may be far from God's goodness, but He's saying, I love you, I'm coming to you, and I'm going to take you by the hand, and I'm going to help you walk. I'm going to help you in goodness. We can receive God's goodness in a special way. Psalm 34:8, I love this verse. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who takes refuge in Him. That taste and see, it's tangible. You know, we look at our senses, we can tangibly, you know, taste food or see things, assuming that our senses are working. But that's something that God is saying, my goodness I'm bringing to you that you can experience. We can experience God's goodness even in a broken world. The psalmist knew that when we have a devotion and trust in God, we can experience and we can receive God's goodness and be blessed in that. You know, we look at the different ages in this world, and you know, there's a time before, there's the time like Abraham type period. You had different periods in the Old Testament. Then you have the New Testament with the Gospels, where Jesus is here and He's teaching, and people are still kind of finding out that the Messiah has come. Right now, we're after all of that. We have the Bible. So I'm kind of excited the fact that we're privileged to know who the Messiah is. We're privileged to know that He came and He died for me and you. He's already come. And God's goodness, Jesus brought that kingdom of goodness right up to us. Jesus, how many times said the kingdom of heaven is near? He's bringing His good kingdom, unbroken, untarnished, right up to our doorstep. Yeah, we're still in the broken world, but we're really close. We're getting closer. So God's goodness is brought to us by His Son, who truly was the only person who was perfect in this fallen and corrupt world. He gave His life to rescue us from our eternal judgment that awaited us because of our sin. We were all born with sin. Our judgment without Christ is hell. But when we put our faith in Jesus Christ, we're receiving Christ as our Savior, who came from the Father, bringing us a full measure of His goodness. Not a corrupt or distorted by sin, though we still struggle with our flesh, Christ gives us His goodness, and His Holy Spirit is doing a good work in us. And the fruit that we bear is a fruit from God, not a fruit from our flesh. Goodness is a product of God. Evil and brokenness is a product of sin. So when we see the Holy Spirit working in our lives, we're seeing God's goodness in us. Can we show goodness in the fruit even though we're broken and there's already been that judgment of no one is good? Well, if God is in us, then the fruit we can bear will be good. So that's the good news. It's good news. It's not anything we're producing, but it's God in us. Anything we bear that is from God is fruit of goodness. I'd like to read Psalm 25, 7 through 9. Remember not the sins of my youth and my rebellious ways according to your love. According to your love, remember me. For you are good, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore, he instructs sinners in his ways. He guides the humble in what is right and teaches them his way. See, when we follow Christ, we begin to know what is good and from the Lord and what is not from the Lord. We begin understanding more of God's goodness because He's teaching us. We're being transformed by the work of His hands. What God is doing in us is good. In our sinful flesh, we were rebellious against God, even though we didn't know it. Some of us might be saying, well, I wasn't really rebellious, but if we weren't living for the Lord, we're rebellious, even though we didn't know it. But when we receive God's Son, Jesus, and His Word, which is from Him, it's good. And His Word instructs us and teaches us and guides us. And we're given the Holy Spirit who does the same as just more so, giving more guidance and illuminating the truth of Scripture. Things to live by. Again, what comes from those in our lives, the fruit that we're bearing from that Holy Spirit is not from ourselves, but the Holy Spirit and its goodness. So what does the fruit look like? Can be kindness? Yeah, it can. What else would look like goodness? Is generosity goodness? It's from the Lord, yes. Humility, is that goodness? Also from the Lord? Yes. Integrity and truthfulness? Yes. They are all coming from the Lord who is transforming areas in our life. Anything that is from the Lord is good. When we talk about the gospel, what does gospel mean? Good news. It's news that's good, right? And what makes it good? It's from the Lord. It's good news. When we share the good news of Jesus, who is our Savior, that's also good fruit. Speaking the truth found in God's Word, because God's Word is from Him, that's also good. Fruit of goodness. What the Lord gives me, I pass on, and it's good. I share the good news. Now we know gospel is good all of the time, yet it's hard to live in a fallen world. As a follower of Christ, I experience His goodness, but it doesn't mean that we are shielded from tragedy or pain or suffering. And we might ask a tough question: if God is good, why do bad things happen to those who love Him? You know, that's a tough question. It's one that doesn't have an easy answer to. I think we see that not every hardship is the same. Though the hardships might be different, we have to trust and have faith that God is good. So when I asked you, after we talked and said, God is good all the time, and I asked if you believe it, it's in the trials and hardships that that really is the time that we'll be struggling. It's hard to see God good when we lose a loved one. It's hard to see that God is good in moments like I just lost the name. It's hard to see God being good when everything seems to be falling apart. But having faith and trust, I believe that God is good no matter what. No matter what, I will believe it and trust it. Jesus mentions in this life we will have trouble, we'll have trials, and we're not going to be able to get away from those. But Jesus says, take heart, he's overcome. Trust in him, he's good, he's overcome. He'll carry you through. Tragedies sometimes just happen because we live in an evil and broken world. We can't escape that. We live here. We can't change the sin and brokenness in this world. We will be affected by it. But even though we're going to be affected by it, God's presence is always going to be with us. That won't change. Today is Communion Sunday, a day that we're reminded of the tremendous goodness of God. And we know that if we receive Christ, we can bear fruit of His goodness. And I'd like to read out of the 1 Corinthians passage I often read. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, this is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. A man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on himself. I'd like you to just take a look at that first verse that's here. The Apostle Paul, he's saying, for I received from the Lord what I passed on to you. How many of you remember the Apostle Paul spending time with Jesus? There's only one time he spent some time with Jesus. That's when Paul used to be Saul, and he was on his way to Damascus to go persecute and kill Christians. And Jesus, in a blinding light, knocks Paul down and has an interaction with Paul. And the people around Paul didn't understand what was happening, but Paul spent time with Jesus for that moment. How did Paul get this? Did Paul get this message here at that time? See, Paul is saying, I received this from the Lord, and I'm passing it on to you. I'm just pointing that out. We're not really told. Holy Spirit probably prompted it. But it's interesting that it's important in that Paul received this from the Lord. And Paul is passing on this taking of the bread and cup. And it's good. It's from the Lord. Yes, he had the Lord's Supper with his apostles, but we see here with Paul it looks a little different, but it's still very similar. What the Lord has given Paul, Paul is passing on, and it's good. It's good to take of the Lord's Supper, remembering Christ and his body, remembering his blood that was shed for us. We should not take these things lightly because it's from the Lord. We should reverently approach the Lord and examine what this bread and cup mean to us. Did they truly mean Christ's body that was broken, his blood that was shed? Is that what this means to us? It shouldn't just be a traditional thing that we do every once in a while. It should have a meaning. We recognize Christ as our Savior, and we recognize the cost for our salvation.